Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Richmond, Virginia is Suzanne Gellner. Suzanne is principal of the Gellner Group. And today we're going to be talking about system improvement agreements. First of all, Suzanne, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, very much glad to have you. Now, what are some of the common challenges organizations face when implementing a system improvement agreement, or SIA as they're more commonly referred to?
Yeah, so when an organization is required to go under a systems improvement agreement, typically the organization is in somewhat of a crisis, and really one of the key elements of an SIA, as they call it, is implementing a robust quality assessment and performance improvement quality program. And so typically these hospitals or other organizations that are under an SIA don't really have that existing, because if they had it, more than likely they wouldn't have gotten into the position of being under an SIA, but that's not always the case. But that being said, the biggest challenge, I think, is getting that robust and meaningful quality assessment, data-driven performance improvement program underway and quickly, because the SIA terms usually are about 12 months. And so the hospital or the other organization, whether it's a nursing home or other healthcare organization, is required to achieve all of the outcomes that Medicare and Medicaid are looking for within that 12-month period. So it's really just getting that QAPI program up and running pretty quickly to achieve those goals.
Now, you take a very interesting approach when you implement a quality or compliance system in a complex environment such as a hospital. First, you obtain the support to back you from leadership and have found an oversight committee useful. Let's start by talking with, what do you see as the committee's role?
Yeah, so the committee's role is primarily made up of leadership, C-suite leaders, other leaders that may have some direct accountability over the service areas that are under the SIA, and that committee helps with a number of things. First of all, making sure that the service areas that are relevant to the SIA are accountable. And again, because the time limitations of an SIA are relatively short to accomplish quite a number of goals, there's got to be that level of accountability that happens pretty frequently, that discussion. And so the committee ideally would have the group or groups come before them monthly and provide a status update. Another element of an SIA is for the hospital to report directly to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services monthly on their progress. And so leadership would certainly want to know before those calls where the SIA projects stand. And so that committee really helps keep things accountable, make sure that everyone understands the importance of all of the pieces and elements of the SIA, and just keeps the momentum going, because it's a pretty heavy lift for everyone in the hospital.
In addition to leadership support, you obviously need support throughout the organization. You spend a lot of time on the middle managers. Why start with them or focus on them? And what do you think it really takes to earn their support?
Yeah, the middle managers are really key, in my experience, to implementing pretty large initiatives or projects. And they can be, quality-driven projects or compliance, and oftentimes there's a lot of overlap there. But with regard to systems improvement agreements and implementing a QAPI program, the middle managers are key because they're your major change agents. They're the people who are understanding what's happening both at the front lines on a daily basis, as well as understanding what it is that leadership wants to see happen through the service area. And so I really spend a lot of time with the middle managers. In addition, the middle managers are coaching the frontline staff. And so they're really, again, going to be the voice of what it is that we're trying to implement. One of the ways that I find most effective in partnering with those middle managers is to, first of all, understand what their pain points are and, with an empathetic ear, understand what their day-to-day looks like and what challenges they foresee in implementing a QAPI program or elements of an SIA. And when I understand that, then I can help them understand how the initiatives that we're trying to implement will probably help them with their day-to-day work and the frontline staff with their day-to-day work. Sometimes they have a hard time understanding that, but with time and with discussions and really, again, with me providing that empathetic ear and listening, we can start to communicate better and hear each other and come up with a plan for implementation. That is, working with those middle managers is really going to be the key to implementing these kinds of broad and deep compliance or quality initiatives in a timely fashion. And the timely fashion piece is important too, because especially in healthcare, things are changing really almost on a daily basis. And so if in my experience, if you take too long to implement an initiative, you're really looking at a whole different context. And so speed is really very important. So working with those middle managers makes all of that possible.
Now, you talked about, when we were prepping for this podcast, something I thought was really interesting. It's not just working with them, but you try and turn them into ambassadors for the program, I think, as you put it. How do you do that, and how does that end up helping extend your reach?
Yeah, well, that's very true, and I do find that ultimately does happen. It usually takes about a month or so for that sort of shift to occur. And I think, again, it's really a matter of developing a relationship with the manager, understanding exactly what their day-to-day looks like, spending time with them with their permission, listening to them empathically and in an understanding way, and really asking their permission to show them how this may work, how this QAPI program may work in their area. And once I'm able to do that, more likely than not, they're going to see the benefits of it. And, you know, although it sounds like an overwhelming thing to implement, I ask for their trust and just their time to be able to experiment with implementing some things like a dashboard or other elements of a QAPI program. And they usually find it very, very helpful, because what happens is many times the efforts that they're spending a lot of time on during the day can be managed in this QAPI committee or QAPI program or compliance program. So it gives the managers and the frontline staff a lot more time to deal with the patient level details that they really want to spend their time on. And so once they see that it's actually saving them time globally, they become champions, and they'll start talking to their colleagues about it in other areas. And that's when things, it becomes a game changer, because things can really start accelerate that change. The culture change, implementing the project throughout the enterprise can happen at a much faster rate. It really accelerates.
Well, certainly this is really all about change, and you're an advocate of not trying to implement all those changes and the quality improvement program across the enterprise, but to take it unit by unit. Why do you think that works better?
Yeah, really meeting people where they are unit by unit is going to be the most effective in my experience and the fastest way to implement a quality or a compliance program, because each service area or each unit is very different. The challenges that they have are very different. The people are different. Their management styles are different. The teams are different. And so really understanding where they are first and how the compliance or the quality program will fit with them best is the most efficacious way and the most efficient way of implementing these programs. And again, once you're able to do that with one, more likely than not, they're going to start talking to their colleagues about the benefits of this. And it sort of spreads in a very natural kind of way, rather than from a one size fits all, this is the way we're going to do it. And everybody's going to have to do it right now this way. That usually results in a lot more pushback and difficulty, because people really the program is just not going to look exactly the same unit by unit or service area by service area.
Well, and certainly, you know, the end goal is to have that improvement happen across the enterprise. And if it's better to do it piece by piece than all at once, you know, it seems like it's a much better way to go. Well, Suzanne, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and to share these insights. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.